Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Gift-giving time, it seems, has come and gone. But wait, there is yet one more gift left for us on this New Year's Day. It's the gift I just talked about with the kids. It's the naming of Jesus on the day of his circumcision. And this gift of naming Jesus along with his circumcision is important for you and for me and for everyone we can tell it to. His name is the gift to us that never ends and never ceases to deliver what it promises. The name of Jesus delivers salvation. Listen again to the gospel lesson. In fact, I want you to read it with me, okay? Read this gospel lesson with me. On the eighth day, before he had been conceived. As we have seen during the Christmas season and the Advent season, Jesus came to earth in a poor, lowly, and humble setting. And yet, he was the King of glory. He came to earth in the form of an infant human child, who smelled like very much the human child that he was. He wriggled and giggled and cooed, just like any baby does. Yet also, at the same time, his divine nature was there, and the truth of his being the immortal God was covered up in the form of that human flesh. We call this the incarnation. The word literally means to put on or to wrap around with flesh. So, Jesus wrapped his godness in human form so we could know him and know that in his incarnation is how. That's how the work of his gift to us of salvation in Jesus' name, how that came to earth. Queen Victoria stayed in Balmoral Castle. And sometimes she would go and enjoy a walk in the district, but she would dress up secretly as a local. On one occasion, she slipped out of the side door of the castle, accompanied only by a servant who was named John Brown. Now, along the road, she came on a flock of sheep being driven by a boy who shouted to her, "Keep out of the way, you stupid old woman!" Well, the queen smiled but said nothing. And then when her servant came along, he informed the boy that she was the queen. "Right. Well," said the boy, "then she should dress like a queen." We also did not recognize Jesus because he came dressed not like the King of glory and the Son of God that he is, but he came as a local in our common, humble, human form. Jesus did this for you. Today, the eighth day after the celebration of his birth in human nature, we celebrate his receiving at his circumcision the name the angel told Mary and Joseph each to name him. Now, I know that it makes people squeamish to think about circumcision. However, it's what God gave as the sign of his first covenant with his people. And it's important for us who are children of the new covenant in Christ to learn from the old covenant. Circumcision was done in part because it was part of the law. It was the beginning of the law for each male Jewish child, and it was needed in order for Jesus to grow up as a righteous Jewish boy. His circumcision was done to fulfill all righteousness by the only Son of God on earth. And this is important. And it was the very first shedding of blood by Jesus to fulfill completely the righteousness of the law that he and we are born under. This shedding of blood in his circumcision was the first that he did. And it marks the holy path his life would take to his final shedding of blood on the cross. Those bloody events, circumcision and cross, are like the bookends I talked about earlier. They're the bookends to Jesus' work on this earth. At only 8 days old, Jesus had someone pierce his skin to ensure that he's part of the old covenant of Israel, just as God commanded. And later, his skin again is pierced on the cross by human hands to ensure that you and I become part of the new covenant that's based in Jesus' righteousness alone. And the guarantee for that for us happens on this eighth day as well. Remember that it's on the eighth day of the week that Jesus rose victorious from the grave. That eighth day is the eternal day. And it's important. Listen to a bit of what Luther says about the eighth day that is so important for both the circumcision of Jesus and his resurrection for our salvation. This is what Luther says. The eighth day signifies the future life. For Christ rested in the grave on the Sabbath, that is, during the entire seventh day, but rose again on the day which follows, the eighth day. And after it, no other day is counted. For through his death, Christ brought to a close the weeks of time, and on the eighth day entered into a different kind of life, in which days are no longer counted, but there is one eternal day. This has been wisely thought out, Luther says. This has been wisely thought out, learnedly and piously. Namely, that the eighth day is the eternal day. For the risen Christ is no longer subject to days, months, or weeks, or any number of days. He is in a new and eternal life. In that eternal life, the true circumcision will be carried out for us all. At that time, not only the foreskin of the heart will be circumcised, which happens in this life for us through faith, but the entire flesh will be cleansed of all depravity, ignorance, lust, sin, and filth. So says Luther. A lot to take in. So the eighth day circumcision and naming of Jesus has eternal significance for you and me. And it has significance in showing us that Christ was indeed fully human, that he was God incarnate. Being wrapped in human flesh, then, he is given the human name, Jesus. The name given by the angel was used because God wanted that name to deliver the gift of what that name promises. The name Jesus is a Greek translation of the Hebrew name Joshua or Yeshua, and it means literally that Yahweh saves. Yahweh is the Old Testament name for the Lord God Almighty. And like the Joshua of the Old Testament, Jesus was to take his people in victory into the promised land of eternal life with our loving God. Now, Jesus fulfills the promise of his name completely, since he himself is the Lord who saves. The gift of the name Jesus, without the action to back it up, would have been incomplete. Jesus' work of salvation did not start at his baptism in the Jordan River, as many people like to think. Jesus' work of bringing about our salvation on earth began with his incarnation in the womb of Mary. His work began with taking on the humble form of an infant and growing throughout life as we all do, by the divine God becoming enfolded in our flesh, he could then be known by us, and he could experience temptations and struggles as we all experience them. Had Jesus not been circumcised on this day, the eighth day according to the law, nothing else that Jesus did would have mattered, because he would not have fulfilled the law in his flesh, in our flesh. But until the work begun in the womb of Mary was complete on the cross, and the coming out of the womb of the empty tomb on Easter, until that morning was done, we were still in our sins. Until that saving work was complete, we were without the righteousness of Christ clothing us, as Paul tells us in the epistle lesson today. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. The name of Jesus Christ being put on us in our baptisms fulfills the promise of God to Mary and Joseph through the angel Gabriel that in the name of Jesus, we are saved. It's in that name that we're baptized, and it's in the name of Jesus we find our eternal eighth day. It's the glory of that name that takes away all darkness, all fear and doubt for our today and for this new year. It's the name of Jesus by which we are saved unto eternal life. We've been given the light of Jesus' glory in his name, and nothing will remove it from us. That light shines in us, and it also shines through us. My mother's cousin one time painted a picture, and this is the picture up there that he painted. And one of the things that he did with that twilight scene, you can see the trees are, you know, heavy with snow. There's a dark house, and it's lonely and desolate out there in the middle of the storm. It's a sad picture in one sense. But then, with a few small, quick strokes of his yellow paint, he put light into a few windows. And the effect is transformative. The entire scene is now made into a vision of comfort and cheer. The name of Jesus is just such a light in our dark world. Like that house in the painting, we've been filled with the light of Jesus, with his name, so that we can know that the living God of heaven knows us and loves us. By the light of the name of Jesus, we're given the assurance that his righteousness is ours by his grace through faith alone. His name put on us changes our identity. We're now the ones who are redeemed, who've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And the gift of his name on us assures us that we belong to the Father in heaven above. Now, as we begin the new year, resolve this: to rest yourself in that truth. Now, you may remember I said we could learn something from the old covenant in order to understand the new. A look back at the Old Testament lesson today gives us a familiar way to understand what it means to have the name of Jesus put on us. We have gained through his obedience to the old covenant, through Jesus' obedience to the old covenant, the blessings of the new covenant. And yet in that old covenant we learn what it is that is delivered to us through the shedding of Christ's blood. It is peace with God. That's what's delivered to us, peace with God. And that peace is put on us through the words that God commanded Aaron to speak to the people, and so to put the name of God on them and to bless them. These are the familiar words we hear most every Sunday. Listen again to these words and the importance that God attaches to them. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." And so the blessing of the Lord comes to us through Jesus, wrapped in our flesh, so we could be wrapped in his name and by his work. And through that name, we've been given the gift of eternal salvation. There is no better gift on this eighth day by which we start our new year. In Jesus' name, amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord.